Hello and welcome to LedgerCast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. I'm here, as per usual, with Josh Olswich. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Brian. How's it going? I thought you were going to say, per usual, everything on this channel is not for investment advice or something.
Also, per usual, everything on this channel is not investment advice. You should always do your own research before you buy or invest in any cryptocurrency or financial asset. We are not your financial advisors, but we're here to talk about price and other things, crypto, stocks, whatever else. Thanks for being here. That wasn't even scripted. Did it sound good?
It was something.
So we did just record on Monday because you were not feeling well. But as far as we know, you do not have the coronavirus.
So far. I should get some serological testing.
Is that the antibody thing?
Yeah, that's when they see if you've got antibodies or not.
I heard it was a scam.
Yeah, that's why I've waited, because a lot of these tests have just been unreliable.
Yeah. Well, just don't see human beings and then everything should be okay.
There you go.
So since last week, on Monday, we had our volatility event, at least maybe the start of it. Let me move my picture-in-picture on the video here so that people can see the volume alongside it. The volume was not impressive in the scheme of things, but that's in the scheme of Bitcoin record volume in March. But even compared to the fake-out breakout to the top side, June 1st, the sell-off off of that was higher than what we got yesterday. So I was hoping, like, we're going to have our event, and yet you could still draw like this little ascending triangle, you fake out breakout, but we're underside of the 20-day moving average. Overall, though, it's hard to say that it's been definitive yet. What say you?
Yeah, the number one thing I don't like on ETH and BTC is the C clamp that's pretty well formed at this point, which just means that based on the cloud, we are overbought and more likely to roll over than move higher.
C-clamp is where the Kijin and Ichimoku cloud is flat and the Tenkan is in a flattening curve on top of that, looking like a C, as people can see circled on the chart there. If you're on Twitch or watching this later on YouTube, which are the two ways to see this on video, price wants to hit those flat Keynesians, which is just a mean reversion point. What's that price for the Keynesian? 8,400?
That's 200.
You're on Ethereum 200. Right now, but I think it's around 8,400 on BTC. And 200 on Ethereum. So that would kind of be your first point of major retrace. Like what we've had so far is a minor retrace, you know, a low of 9,100 or so. But a more major retrace, that 8,400 is kind of your first zone, and then the further depths of retrace, the bottom of the cloud, if you're looking at a cloud strategy, would be the bottom of that flat green cloud around 7,100. If you're just looking simply at the cloud, those are kind of your two areas, right? 8,400, 7,100, which is why you've been paying attention to those.
It's definitely not clearly bullish, but it's no more bearish than it was since the past 2 weeks we've been talking about 7.1.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to go there.
It didn't get overly bearish, but it did lose some of the urgency of bullishness. Like it just looked like it was primed and ready for the up move if it was going to do it. And yet again, we've made kind of a choppish junk move that, if nothing else, can just turn this into another week of nothing to reset itself. A couple of things different from your chart that I see that are different from an Ichimoku system, but still trend following, and trend following systems get harder and harder the more the market chops. But we are looking at the 20-day moving average as resistance, although we've been all over the 20-day. At this point of a pattern, the 20-day is a little less useful. But the 200-day still stands at 81, which is kind of the no man's land inside of your setup with the Ichimoku cloud. So But neither of us really sees much below like the that kind of 7K area. But it's up for much debate in terms of where do you buy the dip if when you buy the dip if we do truly break down from this consolidation triangle thingy.
Yeah, I was just looking at how different the volume profile looks this year compared to 2018 in that 2018 we kind of didn't have any support volume like above 10K, below 10K until like 8.1, whereas now we have all this volume at all these levels.
Yeah, I mean, we're thickening the volume profile in the long term.
Yeah.
So that I guess 9 to 10K could end up with a gigantic volume profile just like we had at 6 to 6,500 in 2018, which in some ways is good because that is eventually going to establish a really solid floor to where if we have another big bear market and we go from, I don't know, what's a good drawdown? If we go to 33K and then we bottom out and have another 70% plus retrace, maybe 8 to 10 will be our like dead bottom floor, you know?
Yeah. But I think overall, nothing's changed really for me.
You know, I think what changed for me is the way that I was positioned is I wanted the market to move quickly and it's telling me it doesn't want to do that. So I have to decide whether I want to maintain long exposure or not. And I don't know the answer to that yet, Josh. I'm going to try to give it to the end of the week. But I think this will probably do nothing for the next couple of days either. So it's not as definitive. Like I was feeling quite bullish on the daily chart. And now it's kind of like, and when I look at the weekly chart, we still actually have a chance to essentially, we're basically at a retrace of the prior week, but it's still kind of within those bounds. If we maintain 9,500 or so of being like an inside week, if you will, not engulfing the prior weekly, but it's still kind of a mess there. We certainly haven't had that definitive close that we've been talking about forever above 10,150 or 10,200, which is the real move that we need for significant upside. That's the path to 12K plus. That's your $2,000 move at a minimum in my mind, and probably higher, probably like 14K prior highs. It's not making that easy on us, you know? We might consolidate here for a while. And the correlation to legacy seems like it's back. But before we talk about that legacy correlation, tell me what you're looking at there, because this is interesting.
I was just looking at Ethereum Weekly. Again, that edge-to-edge thing is really brewing. For ETH to 750, here's the thing about ETH to 750. I don't think it's going to be like my 33K target in that. It was just like some pitchfork projection. This I have high confidence in. It's not going to happen anytime soon, definitely. You know, this, again, people hear like a target and they think it's going to hit tomorrow, but I think it's six months to 18 months away at least. But the setup is definitely there. I've traded setups like this for years and they've panned out. So
that's why I like it. That's a long time to wait.
Yeah, well, welcome to trading.
Welcome to crypto.
I haven't looked at this actually on ETH, but the 100-100 cross is bullish now for ETH. It's the 100 EMA over the 100 MA.
Yeah, which basically,
we talked about that.
Such a weird thing, but I know you like it, and it does have some historical truth to it, but it's just a very strange curve. Like they're both 100-day moving averages, but it's almost like you're just extracting the near dated weighted portion out, like, and turning that into something.
Yeah, it's almost like a 80-100 or something. Yeah. You know.
it's a narrow slope. But the Ethereum weekly cloud thing, it kind of is no different than the way we're expressing the fact that when we move up above 10.2 on BTC, that's when there's real significant action available. The Ethereum one just makes that even more pronounced because of that big fat cloud.
Yeah, and like I said last week, I think if we move up, it's because ETH drags up BTC.
Yeah, which is a hot take for sure.
Yeah, it is.
But every time we've tried to look at this stuff and say alts look weak, then you know they're just chopping you up if you're trying to do like real short-term swing trades on altcoins right now. Most of the decent trades in altcoins are larger time frame swing trades, at least for me. Like every time where I've been like, I see a 2 or 3 day opportunity for a swing trade, I've just been sitting there in the wrong thing. But when I look at something and I'm like, oh, well, here's what I think is a decent probability setup over the next couple of months, then I've had some success with those.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think everything is, we're on the right side of all the averages right now for pretty much everything. So it's just a waiting game, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I know one, and I don't have a position in it right now. I'm already out of it for the reason that I just described. But to shift us over into a little bit of news, and we will get to this legacy correlation in a bit, but freaking Coinbase is going on a shitcoin listing spree again. And I got in a trade with one of them, with Ren, because I have a lot of friends who really like Ren from a fundamental perspective. And when I looked at this chart, the way it's establishing these kind of higher lows, higher highs, hasn't really had a lifetime breakout. It's just got some, it's got some vibes. Like it could do well over a longer term trade. But then of course I bought like into the Coinbase thing. So like maybe 950 or 9,500, I don't remember. I think it's 950 sub 1K sats, whatever it is. And I was out of it by 960, 970 after the next daily was just kind of all over the place and looked very indecisive. And then today it moved up, you know, so it's that kind of where I was like, all right, I'll sneak into this. Looks pretty good on the daily. And then the next daily whipsawed so bad that I got out for essentially break even. And now it looks like it's going to potentially continue up and I'm probably missed out on it. But I was trying to be too short term on that, where I should have just taken a longer term angle of breaking out of this downtrend and sat there for a bit, but blended in with Bitcoin acting real feisty yesterday. I just didn't trust it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's why with alts, I just can't actively trade them. It just requires too much attention. I'd rather just buy it and forget about it, you know? Say to myself, I'm convinced this will be up in the next 6 months, you know?
Yeah, 6 months outlooks.
Because you literally don't know when Coinbase, of all places, is going to list
18 coins.
The junkiest of the junk.
Or, I'm sorry, you know? They're going to review 18 coins.
You're right, but it's just like out of left field that this announcement comes.
I think they're just setting the table to offload their bags, like, and their friends.
Clearly, I 100% agree. I mean, ever since ZRX, that was pretty well telegraphed that that's what they were going to do, is just bail out all their friends basically by selling to retail, selling all their locked up vestments and bags to retail. But
so I don't, I can look for it here, but I don't even know what all the coins were, or that it matters, but it some DeFi stuff and whatever.
They have so poor, the books on Coinbase are so illiquid, and
yeah, the point of the Coinbase pump just does not matter unless retail comes back. Here we go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't trade there anymore. I think it's garbage. I wish them luck, but
I think when I counted, I knew what like 8 of them were ish. So I think I knew what half or fewer were. And some were like older, but I thought kind of dead, like Bancor, I didn't know was really doing very much. And then I think Comp apparently is not even close to distributing. And then even once it does, it's not going to be distributed to any significant degree for a long time. I don't know. And then Digibyte, old school there. Like, I don't know that some VC has a bunch of Digibyte. So they got a couple that were like a little surprising to me, but some of these are definitely, you know, VC buddies. Like Synthetics has a lot of VC interest. It was getting heavy accumulation back on what exchange was that? KuCoin was the only place it was when it was getting hundreds of thousands of dollars of both token and equity investment from one of the big VC firms. I don't know. I don't trust how these got here. Sorry, Coinbase. You got to earn the trust, and you don't have it. I just think this is a nice batch of coins to dump on retail at a later date.
And if like this is today's list, what is the list in 6 months going to be? You know, like most of the stuff I've never even heard of. Not that I'm an all-knowing, omnipotent seer or anything, but like new Cypher, what the hell is that?
Some of these, if I would just look at them all by themselves, I would just be like, absolutely not.
If I can't even
come close to pronouncing it, then no, sir.
Horizon is pretty sure that's on the Grayscale thing as well. And it's been 51% attacked. So is ETC. So like, what does that even matter at this point? But
yeah, we've proven that 51% attacks are not bearish, because you can 51% attack just about any of these networks for like $5,000, and yet the overall network values, apparently, you know, market caps are tens or hundreds of millions or even billions, and they can still be 51% attacked or otherwise attacked for non-proof of work ones. But it's just wild.
And it's like, at the end of the day, don't really care what Coinbase is listing. No, but I know better. You know better. It's the people who don't know better that I feel sorry for.
Drez is saying in the chat that Coinbase founders are directly investors in Numeraire, which is one of the ones they listed, which is some kind of AI calculation something or another.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there's a contract conflict of interest there. Did you see Powell's list of investment this week?
Who?
Jay Powell.
Oh, no. What's he invested in?
Oh, just like all the stuff you'd imagine, like BlackRock and all these ETFs.
The people they're actually using for contracts to buy.
Yeah. So this is speaking of conflict of interest, but yeah. I just thought that was funny.
Shocker. I mean, we're not trying to downplay that there's future blockchain potential in some of these things, but it's hard to, how do you decide, like deciphering the difference between something that has real potential if blockchain is going to be a thing versus yet another coin with some massive team allocation or VC allocation or whatever. It's just so hard to determine. And I certainly
don't they have a conscience? Don't they have some moral responsibility here? It's like the ETH premium at 800%. It's like, isn't there somebody out there in Grayscale saying, well, how do we fix this? How do we correct this? This seems a little ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. If there is going to be a real, blockchain as a thing, a big brand is prototyping I don't even know what you're gonna call it, such a innovation. The New York Times apparently published some details about their blockchain prototype project, which is I don't even know, it's just a in-house development thing. I have a couple of friends who've worked at the New York Times, at least one who works there currently, and probably could give me some information about how tiny this project actually is, or if it's just like a PR thing. They were hiring for it, but according to the quote, it was to conduct research around how readers make judgment about the photos they see online. And to help with that research, we built a prototype that leveraged blockchain to surface a news photo's contextual information on a simulated social media feed. We wanted to see whether visible contextual information, such as the photographer's name and the location depicted in the photo, could help readers better discern the credibility of news photos in their social feeds. So is a photo fake news or not?
Sounds like a bunch of buzzwords to me, but it'll be cool if that works. I don't know. Like, will people even care?
I don't know. I mean, eventually some of these things are going to work and they're going to be neat, but whether they need or use a token, and certainly the big onslaught of tokens that currently exist in the marketplace, I don't know. That's the big, the hard thing about alts is like, they're so, it's so uncertain in terms of whether tokens are necessary in the way these networks are designed. And what we certainly know is that the way the token distributions are organized is not necessary. It's just a cash grab. Whether they get away with that is the question. And alts can still pump and do all these other things, but in terms of what makes it and what lasts, we have no certainty around what, if, and how for any of these types of tokens. So notice the New York Times wasn't like, oh, well, we used Cardano to do this. You know, like the Cardano token was so important. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. But like there's been provenance related blockchains like Poet. I don't even know if that's around anymore. That was originally for journalists to like get their timestamp on sources and pieces and whatever, but I don't even know if that's still around anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. The challenge of this is the great innovation of Bitcoin itself is that you know, they're trying to establish incentive structures through some of these coins. So they're like, okay, well, the founders rewards and the pre-mines and all this other crap and the staking, these help us establish the incentive structures so that, you know, we can have this decentralized network and blockchain. Bitcoin has figured that out better than anything else. Or if you don't even say Bitcoin, but you say old school proof of work and the way all that functions together has shown how that can be, you know, legitimate. I just have a hard time when you talk about minting 30 and 40% of coins and socking away half of the coins and distributing coins over such massive periods of time so that they have such high inflation rates. All those things are what make me suspect for the current slate of large cap coins in terms of them being able to actually matter for the long term, like tens of years down the road, being used as a legitimate platform. Like, could you imagine if every HTTP request on a website like sent 2% of your power bandwidth to some company? You know?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, that's partly the reason why the Bitcoin Pizza Day exists. Apparently Satoshi got upset at Laszlo for hoarding Bitcoin and pushed him to spend it. You know, we can talk about like Gini coefficient, I think it's called, right? It's like a distribution metric where you can look at how many addresses own how much of a coin or whatever. And of course, pre-mines come into that conversation. Issuance per year comes into that conversation. You can talk about Grin and how their issuance is like 70%.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
So yeah, you have to factor all that in over time, you know? Like you have to, it's a balance between getting coins out to people and distributing it and creating this network effect in this community while at the same time not looking like a cash grab for you personally. And somehow Bitcoin was the magic and it happened, but
yeah,
everything else.
And this isn't to say, this goes into the argument that Josh and I have made for a long time of like, doesn't mean they can't pump, but this would be why like, you don't necessarily, when someone says, what will you hold for 5 years? Like most of these, I feel like people will say, screw that, well before 5 years. So that 6 month to a year time frame is, the gig will be up on most of these, any time frame beyond that. So when you tell me, or when you ask me, what will you hold for the long term? Like these are the reasons why non-Bitcoin assets, I'm not so into holding them for the long term, because in terms of which ones will be, you know, decent and not these types of scenarios, it's much harder to answer.
Yeah, and the what was I just gonna say?
I don't know.
Something about distribution.
You got distracted by Drez telling you he's in it for the tech, sir.
Something about distribution. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to replicate. Like a lot of this stuff is really good at medium of exchange, like the BAT token comes to mind. there's billions of bat, but they're really good at, it's really good at being sent around.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I was going to say regarding ETH. You know, the BTC people don't like the ETH people. And it's like, well, why? Look why BTC was created. Look what happened with ETH. Like, there was all this pre-mine. It was issues with the DAO and all these other issues that continue to happen. That they're not scaling and they don't know what they're doing. And it's just like, it goes on and on and on. It's like, ETH is the antithesis of BTC from the perspective of why it was created and what it's doing, you know? Like, so...
Yeah.
Of course, the ETH people and the BTC people are going to butt heads in that regard.
And this is the difference between the trade and the investment. Like, even if I pop over here to Link, Link has every issue that we're just talking about. There's some cool tech in Link. Like, people talk about the oracles and all those types of things. And, you know, you look at this gigantic consolidation and you're like, yeah, that sounds fun for a trade. But am I in Link, interested in Link for the investment? When there's this, no thanks, because eventually don't hate on me, Link Marines. Eventually one of these consolidation patterns is going to end up a massive distribution, and not only the team but the other like early holder whales, whether it's VCs or just big crypto people, whoever's held out for a long time and they've bagged a 10x or 100x or 1000x or whatever they've done and picked their winner, the best performer in the market, one of these will fail, or they'll make it fail because they're going to take their profits and it's going to go to crap and it's going to have its distribution cycle and it's going to go down 80-90% relative to Bitcoin, and I don't want to be holding that bag. So they're trades for me. They're not investments.
Yeah, and I just did an article on Link, looking at their wallets, which is something I love to do for ICO projects. It's always like, how much was minted? Who owns it? What's their plan for selling? Is it locked up? You know, is it programmatic like XRP? Is it willy-nilly like Link is? Sergey or someone in the Link community would probably correct me here, but I haven't found any specific plans as far as how much they're selling and when.
Oh, there were big rumors in 2019 about Link selling into their first big pump.
That was real. That was definitely real, because they sold... So in 2017, they sold around 7.5 million. In 2018, they sold 7 million.
Yeah.
In 2019, they only sold 500,000. And this year, they sold 3 million.
Yeah. Your favorite tokens. Altcoin team. Doesn't matter how loyal you are, they will dump on you.
And well, they have stuff to pay for. I get it.
Yeah. But it's the uncertainty. I'm not hating. I'm just saying that's why it's hard for me to say to someone that this is like XYZ is the coin that I will hold for more than a year.
But it's the uncertainty. Like with Bitcoin, I know what it says. I know the contract. I know the code. I know what's going to happen. I know approximately when all this is going to happen as far as the block reward halvings, the issuance. You know, we know all that stuff.
And the strength of the network and the strength of the developer community and the strength of the miners
brand
and the brand, and the fact that everyone involved in all of that can hate one another and it all still magically works, the beautiful design of that is why I feel like I could walk away for a period of time and like I don't come back to massive drama that it's all screwed up. Like, there will be drama in it because it's all these people that don't have to trust one another and everything else, but like the monetary structure and those things are known, whereas in these others, who knows what the developers or the team or the network participants, what they've decided in the meantime. And it's very difficult to say, like, I'll just leave it be and come back in 2 or 3 or 5 years.
Yeah. And that's not to say even with BTC, like when we have old transactions that are large, like we did the other day, that there isn't like a massive hubbub about it, right? Because like, who's selling? Why are they selling? Why are they selling so much? Or, you know, that's where those sort of concerns are still there. It's just a lot different, right?
Yeah. Half the analysis of altcoins network on altcoin networks is to figure out, like, is the hot potato too hot and are you about to get dumped on? You know?
Right. Right.
This is what's very antagonistic, and I don't mean to be, but I think it's a decent
call.
I think it's a decent follow-up to try to explain why we talked about our confidence in Bitcoin and our suspicions of at least the large majority, almost all, altcoins. Not to mention, now you have to put up that direct contrast because you know you have that benefit in Bitcoin and you don't in altcoins. Then not only is it going to do well, but can it outperform? And fundamentally, no altcoin that I know of has proven itself to be of superior design. And then no altcoin has proved itself to have anywhere close to the network effect capability. Because, for instance, like you could say something like Decred, good community, good tech, good brand, years of proof, but the network value is lower because the strength of the brand is nowhere, like it's less than 1% of Bitcoin from a less. It's probably 1% of 1% of Bitcoin worldwide. Like if you say the words Decred and Bitcoin, the number of people that know what Bitcoin is versus the number of people that know what Decred is, that's all you need to know to be able to value the two. And I think sometimes people underestimate the degree that the brand itself is the value of the network and reinforces all of the other strengths of the network.
Right. And if Bitcoin didn't have a brand, then all these Fugazi copiers wouldn't be trying to keep the name, you know, like Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin right, yeah. SV.
They only have any value whatsoever. Like Decred is way better than any of the things called Bitcoin that aren't Bitcoin. But those have higher market caps often purely because of the name scam that they are pulling off.
Yeah, the name scam and the circulating versus uncirculating scam.
Yeah.
There's a Joe Weisenthal was talking about Ripple and Litecoin today and how, why should they be worth anything if Hertz is worth anything? Hertz, the car rental company. Oh my
God, yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that circulating, again, this goes back to like distribution, Gini coefficient. What are people using the coins for? Are they holders? Are they transacting? These are all the things you need to decide when determining worth of a chain. Because for me, Bitcoin's main use case is buy and hold, right? Like it's a store of value.
Right.
But for a lot of this other stuff, it's not. So how do I value that over a long period of time? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can transact in pennies. It's not always a great experience, but you can do it.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's my bat. You know, it's like bat is really good again at medium of exchange. But anyway.
And if we want to take our any maximalist listeners we have, and I want to just stab them in the back after all this talk that they were nodding their head in agreement with, you know, one of the things against Bitcoin would be that anti-inflationary concept of a monetary system ruins economies because it doesn't incentivize growth and investment because you're better off hoarding than building. The whole point when you have an inflationary system like the dollar is that if you're going to lose the value of the dollars, you have to utilize your dollars to build more value through investment. That's what your capitalists and your inflationary proponents are going to talk about when they talk about those types of systems, which when you're looking at Bitcoin or any anti-inflationary, low inflation, deflationary asset, you're incentivized to hold, and therefore if I'm better off putting my money into Bitcoin than investing into a company or something that's, you know, constructive to society, then why not just hold on to the Bitcoin and then your society does not progress? So sorry to all the maximalists if that pisses you off. I know some people have good arguments against that, but I can make that argument. I can't really make the argument against it very well. Can you?
I mean, it's just a delicate balance, right? Like, other people store gold and silver. They don't use gold and silver, right? I don't know.
I mean, people. I think if you're going to make the argument for it, it's if you denominate in BTC, then everyone has the BTC, and then it's a matter of using the BTC to do those things. But it's still a challenge to me. I don't know.
So I don't have any problems buying things with crypto. Like psychologically, even though I know BTC is going to be worth more tomorrow than it is today.
Yeah.
And if you get to a point, we saw this in 2013, we saw this in 2017, 2018, you get to a point where you're in the money so much that whatever the purchase is kind of pays for itself. And you have to live your life at some point, right?
That's right.
No, I'm with you. You can't take it to the grave. So,
hey, Josh.
At some point, it kicks in. Yeah, what?
We got to transition to this real quick because my kids really are going to get kicked out of daycare. I just looked at the time.
Okay.
So, all that fun stuff aside about Bitcoin being its own thing, well, we're once again correlating with the dadgum legacy market, which is rolling over or may be rolling over. It's sweeping the all-time high break, at least on the queues, and had a couple nasty days here. Lowstrife has this tweet showing the low time frame correlation. If the legacy market turns over here, do you think that's going to help confirm a breakdown in Bitcoin down to the lower targets?
I mean, we're definitely in trouble. When I saw VIX break out to the upside, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, we talked about VIX tops being bullish for Bitcoin. The VIX bottoms are not great for Bitcoin either, you know? So
yeah, so if legacy rolls over, it's not great.
Then watch out.
Unfortunately, you know, at least since January, we've been so correlated with legacy stuff.
Yeah.
Even with gold, I haven't looked at the gold correlation. I probably should.
It's been pretty well correlated. So that's top watch. The weekly level is still top watch. All that stuff is still top of mind for us. I apologize. This episode's a little shorter, but we started recording late today, and that's my fault. And now I got to go pick up my kids. So go to at Carpe Noctem on Twitter. Follow us on YouTube, Twitter, all the places. Check out Josh's articles on Brave New Coin. Thanks for being here. Josh, you got anything to leave us with?
No, just give your crotch fruits a hug for me and tell them I said
hi. See y'all later. I can barely breathe.